for a few moments about how to be a more generous giver. You know, we believe in tithing here. We believe that the tithe is important. The first 10% of your income belongs to God, should go to the local church. And frankly, if everybody tithed here, we would be really in a good spot right now. We're not in a bad spot now, but we'd be in a better spot if everybody practiced tithing. And but tithing is kind of the training wheels of giving. It's kind of like God says, here's how I want you to know that I am God. See if I don't bless your tithe. But what he really wants is people who are generous. He wants people who have a generous heart, who look forward to giving, who look for opportunities to give. Not just here at North Point, but other places. Missions, of course, giving, community organizations that do good job with helping the poor and that kind of thing. And we want to talk about that sacrifice life, how to be more generous. Romans 12:1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." That's the beginning of generosity, is understanding, truly understanding what God has done for you and how we should respond to what God has done. "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." You know, there's a fellow that maybe you've heard about in the news. He made kind of a splash. His name is Albert Lexi, and he's a shoeshine man. 2 days a week, he goes to Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, and he shines shoes. He sets up a little box. He's been doing that for the last 30 years. And it's kind of a side job that he got for extra income, that kind of thing. And he only charges $5 to shine your shoes. Now, some people give him a tip. They give him a tip of maybe a dollar, sometimes two. One time, the biggest tip he ever got was a doctor from the hospital gave him a $50 tip around Christmas time a few years ago. But Albert Lexi shined shoes just as kind of a side job and that kind of thing. But he made a commitment. He committed that he was going to give all of his tips to the children's hospital. He had a real heart, a real passion for that place. He saw young children being healed and having their lives changed, and he wanted to be a part of that. And so he decided that he would give his tips to the children's hospital. Well, just in June of this year, of 2014, Albert decided to retire. Time had come. He hung up his shoeshine box and put his polish away and just kind of gave it up. But the administration decided they needed to do something for this man who $1 or $2 at a time had raised over $200,000 for that children's program. You see, Albert Lexi learned generosity. That was $200,000 that he could have stuck in his pocket. But he decided to give it to somebody else, and he discovered the joy of generosity. And I just want to read a little quote of what he said. He said, "I made myself happy by giving to others." I made myself happy by giving to others. I want to talk to you about living the life of the generous this morning, because there is joy in generosity. And I want you to know that no matter what your character makeup is, if you're a tightwad, you know, if you're a spendthrift, if you calculate the per ounce cost of cereal every time you're in the store, you know, that kind of person, right? If you're that kind of person, you can still be generous, and God still wants you to be generous with your giving to Him. And there are some steps that you can take in order to become a more generous giver. I have my eye on the clock. I know what time it is, and I'm going to be respectful of that. But there are some things that I want you to know that God wants us to know about being generous. And first of all, and probably the most important thing that I could tell you today, the way to be generous is to get out of debt and stay out of debt. You cannot give what you don't have. You can't give what belongs to somebody else. And the Bible has some very strong words about being in debt. In Proverbs 22:17, it says, "Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender." When you sign on that dotted line and you say, "I will pay this off in so many months or so many years," and you set up that payment plan, you are committing your income to somebody else. They become your master, as a matter of fact. And you may be here during Missions Week, and you may want to give, and your heart says, "Boy, I would really like to give." And I know that that's the case for a lot of people. You would like to give, but your hands are tied because you owe money to other people. And you have payments that you have to make. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Money can own you, or you can own money. And the deciding factor in that is your debt load. It really is. And so what I want you to do, I want you to think about this, is to be countercultural. And to be countercultural, to be really radical today, means living debt-free, because most people can't do it. They don't do it. The average income debt on the average American is between $12,000 and $17,000 on income, on just credit cards. That doesn't include your home. And I know that you really can't save up enough money to pay cash for a house, probably, if you're here. But a home is a good investment because it usually accrues in value. Most of the stuff on credit decreases in value. It's worth less when you get done paying for it than when you started paying for it. If you buy a brand new car, the minute you drive it off the lot, it drops 20% in value. You can drive it around the block, come and sell it to try to sell it back to the dealer, and you'll be amazed at how much that car dropped in value in 2 minutes. Most of what we buy decreases in value. So what's the answer to that? It's to live within your means. It's to be countercultural. It's to be radical. It's to practice delayed gratification and save for what you want. Now, that's not a popular message. I know that. I'm probably turning off some of you right now, and you're saying, oh, you try to raise a family of blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. I did it, okay? I've been there. I bought the T-shirt. I still got the T-shirt. Learn to save for delayed gratification so that you can pay cash for the things that you want. And that will free you up when needs come up in the church, when needs come up in missions, that you won't even have to really think twice about it. You can say, you know what? I can do my part. I'm not in debt to anybody. Sandy and I paid off our house this year, and boy, I'll tell you, that was a happy day. That was a happy... I can't tell you... the feeling of freedom that gave us to know that we were not in debt anymore for that house. So number one, get out of debt and stay out of debt. Number two, stop comparing your giving to others. Stop looking around for somebody else to pick up the slack that has more than you do. Besides, you probably might be surprised at who has more than you do. Probably very few people have more than you do. We're all probably about the same here in this audience. Very close to each other. The determining factor is, where is all your money going? But there's a story in Mark chapter 12 of Jesus and his disciples on a field trip. Jesus took his disciples to the temple. And their field trip, they were going to watch people give at the temple. Sounds like fun. What are we going to do today, Master? We're going to go to the temple and we're going to watch people give. And so they did. They sat around and they watched people bring their offerings and put them in the offering receptacle. And people, you know, they didn't really have currency back then. And so people would drop their coins in. And somebody would drop all of their... Oh, they came and got the buddy barrel already. I was going to do an illustration and thrill you all. But some people would drop all of their coins in. And boy, it was a noisy offering. You know, brrrrow. All of that stuff went in there. And people would stop and think, wow, they really gave a lot. But there was one woman that walked up and she gave one penny, two half pennies. And she dropped them in and they barely made a noise when they went in. But Jesus stopped his disciples and he said, wait a minute, look at that woman. Do you see what happened? Yeah, she gave a whole penny. Wow. And Jesus said something stunning. He said, she has given more than anyone else here. She gave a tiny part of her surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Don't compare your giving to other people. God sees the heart. God judges completely differently than others do. Being proud of what you give invalidates the gift because of pride. If you think that you're giving big amounts because you got a lot and you can really be a big hitter for the church, you know what? That's pride, and God says you didn't give anything. Saying your gift is insignificant tempts you not to be generous at all, because your gift doesn't matter, you think. Your gift is never insignificant. You know, I say this all the time, you're probably sick of hearing it, but the reason we're able to give almost $54,000 to missions last year, that's how much we gave. $54,000 to all of our missions came from North Point. How did we do that? We don't have one person that underwrites the mission budget. We don't have a millionaire here. I don't think we have a millionaire here. If you are, you can talk to me afterwards. I'd appreciate knowing. We don't have big hitters that write out a single check and make up 80% of our missions budget. It's by everybody doing their part. It's by everybody giving what God has laid on their heart, and we all do it together, and we're able to give a significant amount to ministry. We are in the top 7% of missions giving, world missions giving in the United States. This church, these 150 people, we give significant amounts, and you would never know it to look at us on the surface. How does that happen? Because we know that the person that gives $5 a week, if they're giving out of a heart for God, is doing as much as the person that gives $50 a week. It's all up to God to judge whether it's significant or not, and it's all significant. So be sure that you don't compare yourself to others when you give. Number three, plan to be a giver. Give with a plan. Don't wait until the end of the month and say, well, if I got something left, then I'll give it to the church. You know what? You're not going to have anything left. I never do. I mean, you know, if that was the way that I gave, I wouldn't give hardly anything. But we have a plan. Sandy and I have a plan. We give to the church. We give our tithe. We give it regularly. And that's the first thing that I enter in my check register each month when we're doing our budget. I put in, you know, X amount of dollars, my tithe to North Point Assembly of God. My next check that I write out is my missions check. X amount of money to missions, you know, and then I work with what's left. I plan around that. I plan my budget around that. And you know what? I've been thinking really hard lately about ways that I can give more. I honestly have. Especially now that we've paid off the house. You know, I want to be able to do more for missions. I want to be able to do more for the kingdom of God with what God has given me. And, you know, we're looking at ways that we can cut back things that we really don't need because I want to plan to give. I don't want to give as a byproduct of what happens in my life. I want to give with a plan. I don't know if you plan to give, but I urge you to start working that into your budget and seeing that as God's money. In 1 Corinthians 6:2. It says, on the first day of the week, you should each put aside a portion of the money that you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. In Luke 14, it says, don't begin until you count the cost, for who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Plan to give. Make plans around it. Make sure that it's part of your budget. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but you have a friend or a family member or somebody like that, and their health takes a hit or their house burns down or they need help somehow, and you look at your balance sheet and you see, I can't help. I can't help. You should have giving in your plans. You should have saving in your plans, and then you should live on the rest of it. Now listen, I know it's easy to say, but it works. It works. When you plan to give, you give more, and you're happier when you do give. So plan to be a giver. Number four, practice giving as an act of worship. You know, sometimes we kind of cringe when we hear missions convention is coming up. We kind of cringe when the offering comes up, when a missionary comes and we ask for an offering for them, you know, because we look at giving as a burden. And God doesn't want giving to be a burden. He wants it to be an act of worship. Every time in the Old Testament when somebody came to worship, what did they have to bring? An offering. Every single time. As a matter of fact, God said, don't come to me empty-handed. Now, there's all kinds of reasons for that that we don't have time for this morning, but God wants us to give as an act of worship to Him. You know, we do pretty well at worship. I love to come. Pastor Matt does a great job of leading us in songs and worship and all of that kind of thing. The worship team does a great job of leading us into the presence of the Lord. And, you know, that's great. We know how to worship. But that's not the only way we worship. We worship when we give. Giving is an act of worship. Prayer is an act of worship. Our lives should be an act of worship before God. You know, when you're giving to God, you're giving to God, not to the church. You might write out the check to North Point Assembly of God, but it's really going to God Himself. We're doing what God's called us to do. And you're acting like God when you're generous. For God so loved the world, He gave his only son. God is generous. He's ridiculously generous. And he wants people that are ridiculously generous also. You are confessing that it all comes from God and it all belongs to God when you're generous. How can you give that much? Well, all I can say is I trust God. I trust that God is going to make that up. I trust that God is going to take care of me. I trust that God will meet my needs. Pastor, how did you put two boys through college? How did you raise a family of three voracious appetite boys on, you know, what you make and all that, all the stuff that goes along with that? Well, I can only tell you God did it. I didn't do it. Every time we had a need, God answered. And beyond. You know, I just live a ridiculously happy life. I really do. Because I know that everything that I have comes from God. Everything that I have belongs to God. And when we give generously, we're trusting God. We're saying, God, I trust you. I trust you to supply for my needs and take care of it. So I want to kind of wrap this up this morning by just kind of giving you three steps to becoming more generous. Okay, we know this. I believe that everybody here in their heart wants to be generous. If you don't, you need to get saved. Because God's heart is a heart of generosity. And, you know, a person that's really saved is going to have that seed of generosity in their heart somewhere, somehow. You might fight it with all your might, but it's still there. How do we do that? How do we become more generous? Well, number one, ask God to change your heart. Just be honest. You know, if you're stingy, confess that. And say, Lord, I'm a tightwad. I'm stingy. I don't want to part with my money. Please change me. That's right. Ask God to change you. How many of you have had God take away desires in your heart that you didn't need and you didn't want? Probably everybody here should raise their hand. God can change your heart. God can change the heart. Every time Teen Challenge comes, I hate it because I sit there and bawl like a baby. When I see lives changed and lives turned around and rescued for the kingdom of God. If God can change an addict's heart from lusting after drugs and stuff like that, don't you think He can change your heart too? And shouldn't you want that change to happen? Ask God to change you. Number two, practice, practice, practice. Practice, practice, practice. Be generous. Fake it till it comes. Fake it till it comes. You know, I tell this sometimes to married couples who come to me and say, you know, I just don't feel like I'm in love with my spouse anymore. I tell them, well, just fake it. Fake it till the feelings come. Don't wait for the feelings to come because they'll never come if you don't. You just fake it until, I mean, you know, you just do it. Just do it. Love your spouse, even through gritted teeth if you have to. And if you're having problems being generous today, just do it. See what God does. See what God does with that generosity. And see how God blesses you. And I'll tell you what, when God begins to bless you, your heart will change. You'll say, man, I wish I'd done this sooner. I wish I'd been generous earlier in my life. And finally, focus on the blessings you have, not the blessings you lack. You know, you can't be generous when you're wanting more than you have, when you're dissatisfied with what you've got. Become a person of thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for this beans and rice that I'm having for dinner tonight. You know, instead of saying, God, I could have had steak, I should have had steak, but I guess I'll settle for these beans and rice. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you think things are going to get better after that? Now be a person of thanksgiving. Be thankful for what you blessings God has showered you with. Be a person that looks at the blessings that God has given you. Be a person that looks at the brighter side of life. Be a person that sees what you have, not what you don't have. And watch God open the doors of blessing in your life. You know, these last 2 weeks we've been talking to you about some specific things that God wants to do in your life and in our church. And it's only through generous giving that we're going to be able to do that. You know, this church is not funded by a government organization. We don't get a check from Uncle Sam every month. We don't get a check from anybody every month except you. You're the only persons that support this work. And, you know, God wants you to be a generous giver. Not so that the church can have more, that's part of it, but so that you can have more. So that you can be blessed. So that God can open up the heavens and pour out blessing on you. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for the honor of being generous people. Thank you, God, that you are a generous God. And Lord, this morning before we go, we just want to thank you for all that you've given to us. Everybody in this room here is grateful, God, for what you've done in our lives, for what you've given us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would make us even more grateful for what you've done. And God, help us as we become a generous church. Lord, we gave a significant amount to missions last year. But God, we want to give more next year. We want to be even more generous with what you've done for us. We want to be even more generous with what you've blessed us with, Father. We pray in Jesus' name that you would open up the purse strings of heaven and help us to do more for the kingdom of God in 2015 than we did in 2014. We give you the praise and the thanks for it. You know, before we go, before we dismiss, I just want to give you an opportunity. Somehow God has made real to your heart this morning just how generous he's been with you, and you never really understood that. And as a result, you'd like to give your life to Christ this morning. If that's you, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to show you the way. And if that's you, just talk to one of us, Pastor Mike, Pastor Matt, myself, Pastor Lola, others that are here. We want to help you come into the kingdom of God. So if you would do that after the service, just come to me and say, I want to know how to be a part of the body of Christ. We'd be happy to help you with that. But otherwise, if you would stand with me, we're going to close by worshiping God this morning. We're going to cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus. So I know it's a little bit late, but let's just take a few minutes to worship before we go, shall we?